でも飛ぶ鮭飛ぶと何て言うんだ
ろう、何て言うんだろう、
さあ、すぐ、あの、こういうふうに、すぐ、すぐ、すぐ、す
This is Luke Marino, Rav Shlita. I had an amazing feedback from last time. We might spend all our time just on that. But I just thought I'd start off with my recollections of my school days. We had a certain teacher in Hasmonean who seemed to get his pronunciation wrong, not only with his letters, but also with his words and the words that he was saying. He used to say something like, my late grandfather, Zeichel Etzias Mitzrayim. But the climax came when he once had Yotzeit and he was leading the davening at the Yom Tov Mincha in our classroom. And after the end of Tachanun, he finished off by saying, Ozreinu Le'ekei Sheinu Adavak Vot Shemecho Now, we all know that one should say chatos seinu and chatos seicho means your sins. So one little bright boy in short trousers went up to him and said, excuse me sir, it's not chatos seicho, it's chatos seinu. And he answered, well, we all make mistakes, don't we? Well, I've had so much feedback from everybody, especially from David Levy, thank you very much. You sent me a whole article of about 36 pages on this subject, and we will find... I've also had a lot of feedback from Gershon Hepner, who kindly brought to me attention from Yaakov Chaim of a Gemara Rashi in Sanhedrin, where Rashi writes in the older editions or the Vilna editions the word Tovor, when it's very clear he meant to write the word Tavor with a Tov, and he wrote Tovor with a Tet, and it seems, and he quoted a source to show that this was because of the dictation which was taking place in the Litvish areas, where the Hebrew word goodness, Tovor, was pronounced, is pronounced by the Litvishers as Tavor. And so the printer wrote it as Tes Vov Beis Hei, but if you look in the modern art scroll, they've corrected it. Jeff Levinson kindly referred to me to the way lots of people say the Imru as the Yimru. I've had also experience last week. I was very warmly welcomed by Eitan Shelame at the Adeni community, where I wanted to hear firsthand the way that they were davening there, because the feedback I had last time was that although I spent a lot of time talking about Ashkenazim, I didn't say anything about the Sfardim, and we'll try and deal a bit today with the Sfardim, certainly amongst the Adeni community and also the Teimani community. They do not pronounce the comet like a patach like many other Sfardim do, so that when Kedusha was taking place, the clear cut sound which came across for Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh was Kodesh, 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 which is very similar to the Litvishers. Interesting observations. Of course, as we discussed last week, Al Titosh Teras Semecho, you carry on the tradition of what's handed down to you, and we know that there are lots of variations, but we will be analysing them as what might be most correct. Whilst talking about the not only pronunciations, but also spellings, which might not be so apparent, but it can bear very much on pronunciations. There was once a shopkeeper who wanted to proudly advertise that he was selling Pesach stick milk, so he wanted to put up a sign, Cholov Kosher Pesach, and he stopped getting customers. And nobody could understand why until they analyzed his sign, and what he had done was, instead of writing Cholov with a Ches, he wrote it with a Chaf, which spells Kelev, a dog. And Kosher, instead of writing Chaf Shin Reish, he wrote Kuf Shin Reish, which means tied to. And Le Pesach, instead of writing Lamed Pei Samaches, he wrote Lamed Pei Sov Ches, which means to the door. So everyone was told that a dog was tied up to his door and he lost his business. Well, David Levy kindly quoted to me Lewis Glynnis, who's a very well-known expert on Hebrew language, Hebrew pronunciation, who theorized that the Yiddish oi evolved from O simply because of their language, and that was only in the last 200 or 300 years. He sent me this interesting article from someone called Isaac Gottlieb on the politics of pronunciation, and there is the theory that in the Sephardic pronunciation, much was tampered with by those the early members of the Zionist movement who wanted to revive the Hebrew language, but in doing so may have spoilt certain things, and this is in fact remarked upon in the Sefer Tefillot Hilchosot. And there it quotes Rav Kalman Kahana, who says that much of the Sephardic pronunciation nowadays seems to have come about because of the nationalist movement to bring the Sephardic pronunciation into Eretz Yisrael, which is what is generally spoken in the street, and that the original Sephardim did distinguish between the O and the A, the Kamat and the Patach. So we'll deal with that later.
There's an interesting phenomena. People, when they say Yehesh Meirabo, they say Yehesh Meirabo Mevoiroch.
Yes.
And you can be sure that such a person has converted from Havarat Sephardit to Ashkenazi.
Yes.
And they think the word is a Sephardic word, and Mevorach, but it's an Aramaic word. And you can easily,
yeah.
But you can easily tell if you hear somebody saying that he has converted. And I've approached one or two people that said, ah, you're a convert, and they said, after explaining
them, they said 100% sure. Yeah, that very issue is dealt with in the article we referred to last time by Benjamin Humberg in Shoshim in Hoge Ashkenaz, that there's a tendency to say the oi for the o, and that comes up in a number of instances. Many teshuvas talk about whether one may change or should change. The Igris Moshe Chelek Gimel Simon Hay, which Gershon kindly mentioned, where Rav Moshe Feinstein says that one should not change and one should carry on the tradition which one has handed down, and that when it comes to something like Chalitza, where pronunciation or the words are very important, it's okay if you do it in the tradition, not that you hopefully you should never have to do it because it's always in sad circumstances. The article which David kindly gave me quotes Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who opposed changes being made, and he had two particular reasons. Number one was Al Titosh Torah Sinecho, don't change the tradition handed down to you. And number two, there is a problem when you change God's name, which we traditionally in Ashkenazim, amongst Ashkenazim, say Aleph Dalad Nun Yud with Noi at the end, and the Sephardim say Nai at the end, because you are possibly changing the meaning. Because the word with a nai at the end can mean my masters, which are human beings, and it's in plural, and that can be Chas v'Shalom suggesting that there's more than one Rishus, that we only want Hashem stressed as one God, and so therefore the Chazon Ish was keen that those who changed to the Sephardic pronunciation should pronounce nevertheless God's name never still with the noi. Nevertheless,
I've heard the chief rabbi, former chief rabbi Yisrael Lau, I've heard him.
Right. But there are sources which defend those who say nai, and there seems to be a source for everything.
Rabbi Cooper also told, I think, one of my boys when I was going from the mitzvah to say, even though he was laning in Havarat's Sephardit, he told him to say oi on Kodesh Baruch Hu's name.
Well, Rav Yitzchok of Volozhin, and you couldn't have got a more Ashkenazi place than Volozhin, it is said that when he had finished his davening, he reread the whole of the Shema in the Sephardic pronunciation, as if to say he wanted to be Yotzer according to their opinion. I remember asking lots of questions about pronunciation to Rabbi Dr. Ephraim Wiesenberg, Zeifer Tzadik Levracha, and he in fact came from the town of Košice in Czechoslovakia, Hungary, where notified it was pronounced, but he, after years of education, did change from the Ashkenaz way to the Sephardi way because he felt it was more correct, and he told my father that he had rabbinical guidance in doing so, and that people should not have frowned upon him because some people thought he was simply just a modern Zionist, but he did it for genuine, sincere reasons. The Minchas Yitzchok writes in Chelek Gimel Siman Tes Stein Weiss that one should make a clear distinction between the Kovetz and the Patach, the O and the A, and that's Minag Ashkenazim. And he refers to this problem of when you say Hashem's name with the Nai. Nevertheless, if one looks at the Rabbeinu Bechai in Vayero, and he was a Sephardi, he said that one should distinguish between the O and the A. So the Sephardim had the tradition of differentiating between the O and the A, and having heard the davening last week at the Ardeni community, you can clearly, you can hear this, that there's no question about the fact that they distinguish between the O and the A, and so do the Teimanim, which creates an interesting historical analysis as to what went wrong somewhere along the line with the other Sephardim. So if we look at what the Tzilok Ilchosa says, he writes in Perek Dalud, well, I'll start with the Yud Tes, and his footnote, Lamed Hei, he quotes the Harak Tzvi, and he says, according to Rabbeinu B'chai, that's Pashas Vayeva, Afal Pi Shinir Shachamas V'Pesach HaKol Dovor Echod, even though many Sephardim treat the O and the A as one thing, Ein HaDovor Kein, that is not the way it should be. El Hashiyesh Hefrish B'Neim B'Mizom, there is a difference between them in the way that they're pronounced. And Mipnei Zeh Nichtov, sorry, I can't read the next bit. Kodesh b'kavat shulchal b'pesach. That there is a difference that when you do loshen hakodesh, that you will say the ah, but when you're speaking Ivrit in the street, you'll say ah. V'chein atimanim in his home is there, and so the Yemenite Jews are very careful about this. The royal limchos b'misha einu matziv is there, and one should even tell off those who are not particular. Nevertheless, if you think that you're not going to be listened to because it's so widespread and people have that tradition already, there's no point telling people off because you don't tell off for something which is not listened to. And the Chazanish told off a couple of Rabbonim about this who were Mechanchim in a couple of various schools. That they should continue Hashem's name with the Ashkenaz pronunciation. Nevertheless, he says, look at the Mishnah Yaakov of Rav Rosenthal, who brings the Rabbein Bechai, but says, nevertheless, there is a source to say it the way we say the Sephardim do say it with the Patach. Quoting the Abia Omer, Miyashiv Divrei Rabbeinu Bechai, Menaseh L'Tarit Minag Sephardim Kayom, he says, that according to Rav Avadi Yosef, it is allowed to the Ashkenazim to pronounce things in the Sephardi way, particularly when the Ashkenazi is teaching its children who belong to a yeshiva Sephardit. And he says, we don't have to make them change. Rav Kalman Kahana, and so he quotes Rav Kalman Kahana, who wrote the Sefer Chekel Iyun, that he says that this Sephardit Ha'eretz Yisraelit Hamukubelet Berachov, which is generally spoken in the street, is one thing. Aval he Eino Ha'avara Sephardit Hamukorit. This is not the original Sephardit pronunciation, which we have a distinction between the O and the R. And therefore, it's good if one can make the distinction. Now, I remember once discussing with an Israeli in yeshiva that surely the Ashkenaz way is more correct because we make a difference between the O and the A. And this Israeli said to me a very interesting answer. He said, yes, but you Ashkenazim don't make a difference between the Kometz Gadol and the Kometz Katon, which we do. So you get certain words like kol, where they don't say kal, they say kol. And Erev Okev Tzohoroyim, so they say Tzohorayim. They don't say Tzaharayim, because they make a distinction between the two different kinds of Kometz, which we Ashkenazim have a weakness about, and we don't do. So he says, but nevertheless, the Hegu Hamakuba Baritz Hanikra Sephardi Einam Avdil Kalabin Kometz the Pesach Einam Avdil Bein Suma Shanim. They don't make enough differences, and therefore it is correct to be careful. And nevertheless, if you look at the differences between the Sephardic pronunciation and the Ashkenaz pronunciation. Where we might be more particular about the vowels, and last time we spoke about the Cholon Vov, and the Rav Yaakov Enden said, I'm glad I'm not doing the Sephardi pronunciation because I distinguish between the O and the A. Nevertheless, that's as far as vowels are concerned, and we discussed the Cholon Vov in great detail last time. But when you look at the consonants, the Sephardim, says Rav Aaron Kahn, the Sephardim are far more correct than the Ashkenazi.
Really?
Yeah,
Aleph
and
Ayin. The top
and the soft.
Right, so the Shulchan Aruch says that when you daven at the Amud, you should distinguish between the Aleph and the Ayin and the Hey and the Ches. Now, when we are brought up in amongst the Ashkenazim regarding the Ches, we are taught to treat it the same way as the Chah, the Ches and the Chah. But the Shulchan Aruch says you should distinguish between the Hey and the Ches. And he doesn't say you should distinguish between the Ches and the Chah, which is a proof that the Ches is much nearer to the Hey than it is to the Chah. So as you hear the Sephardim saying, V'chol Hachayim. So they say V'chol with a stronger CH. But then when they say the Chayim, it sounds much more like the Hey or the H. And they are much nearer to it. And so much so, it's interesting because the Vilna Gaon writes on the Yerushalmi when Rav Chiya wanted to accuse some people of Chilul Shabbos, he wanted to write his message because he wanted to write Umechalaleho Mos Yumos, and he was worried that if he'd say it, they might misinterpret it because he might say Umechalaleho Mos Yumos, which means, and if you praise Chilul Shabbos, then you... if you praise Shabbos, then you'll die. Well, that's absurd. So the Hey and the Ches are very similar, and so there was this worry that when they pronounce Umechalaleho, it might sound like the Hey. And the Gemara Megillah in Chavdalo talks about Rabbi Chiya, who was confusing, or it sounded as though he was confusing the two sounds, and he quoted a pasuk in Yeshayahu chapter 8 verse 70, V'chikisi l'Hashem, and I've been waiting and yearning for Hashem. But if you pronounce it wrongly and say V'chikisi l'Hashem, then chas v'shalom, you're smiting Hashem. So that goes back as far as the Gemara, this difference. And so the Gemara Megillah says you can't daven at the Amud if you don't distinguish between the Aleph and the Ayin and the Hey and the Ches, and this is brought down by the Shulchan Aruch. So what do we do nowadays? Well, the Magen Avraham does say, look, if you have a whole community where people don't distinguish at all between the Aleph and the Ayin, then you can't help it. Then anybody can daven. But Rav Shimon Weiser taught me that even if you're an Ashkenazi and you don't use the Sephardic pronunciation, you should still try to distinguish between the Aleph and the Ayin, if one can. Now, the problem is, what is the sound of that Ayin? There was an old tradition amongst Greek-Roman areas that Ayin turned into a gimel. And when you, nowadays, we talk about the Gaza Strip in Ivrit, they talk about Aza, or we talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, it was Sodom and Amorah, so there you've got the Ayin turning into a gimel, which is quite strange. You don't hear that in the davening nowadays. And amongst the Litvish people, who did try in many occasions to change the Ayin into something more pronounced, it seems to change into the letter N, or the sound of NG. So you've got Yaakov coming Yankel. So without suggesting that Yaakov Chaim's name is Yankel, I've got a son whose middle name is Yaakov, that has become the norm amongst Ashkenazi communities to say Yankel, to give that extra pronunciation to the Ayin. But
I had Haggadah, which was translated by the Reverend De Sola, who was minister in Jamaica, and he wrote, Rabbis, the time has come to recite the morning Shemang.
The Shemang?
Yeah, the Shemang.
That's very interesting, because Shema ends with an Ayin, yeah. And is it correct just to say Shema, we're leaving it open, and one should have some closed sounds to it? There was once a transliteration of you know, where things are put into English lettering. And I heard of one siddur once which spoke about the seder of Baha'a Lo Secho as Baha'ang Lo Secho, because of this transliteration which the literatures did. But clearly the tradition we have is that the Sfardim who pronounce the ayin are the most correct, and it needs a lifting of the top of the tongue to the top of your palate to create a sound which might sound a bit like a click to us Ashkenazim. But if I may imitate the Sfardim, though we've got the experts here, I will nevertheless make an attempt. Besechezeno einenu. Right? Einenu. It's not einenu, it's besechezeno einenu. So give that extra push to it. Hey, Tom, did that sound all right to you?
Perfect.
Oh, thank you. Well, or when you're saying the bracha, you don't say mishon or mistach latzadikim, you say mishon. Give that strength to the ayin, even if it's hard to pronounce it the way the Sfardim do, but give strength to mishon mistach latzadikim. Or as we say in Yisrael, ba'avor yishma ho'om. Now when I said yishma, I didn't leave it open at the end, I said yishma. So that the tongue should jump up a bit so that it's closed. And in this connection, a lot of mistakes people make when it comes to traditional pronunciation, whether, well, Ashkenazim generally, and there are three letters which have a patach under them at the end of a word which are not pronounced in the normal way. The typical word, apple, is tapuach, or tapuach. Now, that ches at the end of tapuach is not tapucha. So people who learn to read learn that ches and ah makes ha, but when it's at the end of the word, it's tapuach, so that your consonant is at the end of the patach and not at the beginning of the patach. But what is not so well known is that that same concept applies to two other letters. Number one is the he, or the mappic he, where people mistakenly, like we were saying in the halal last week on Rosh Chodesh, and you often hear the chazan saying ha with the elo, the word which is elo ends with a hey, a mappic hey with an a under it, and you hear people saying elo followed by ha, which is totally wrong. It's elo followed by ah, so the hey sound is at the end, just like with the tapuach the ches sound is at the end. So secondly, with the mappic hey, you end it with the hey sound. And thirdly, with the ayin. Atol gibor le'olam Hashem, sorry, le'olam Hashem, mechaye meisim, atol rav, lehoshia. Lehoshia. Not lehoshia, but to close that ayin at the end is lehoshia. And Eitan, am I correct? Yes, thank you, he's nodding, I'm grateful. Now, alright, it's difficult. If one can't do it, one can't do it. But if one is able to do it, one should do it. And if you feel like you're showing off when you're davening at the omud, or when you're leaning from the Sefer Torah, and you're pronouncing your ayins, well, we once discussed the subject of showing off. And one of the things we quoted was that when you're doing something which is halachic, or halachically correct, then you don't have to feel as though you're showing off. You've got nothing to be embarrassed about. So, that's the halacha.
It's
not called a mappic iron, it's an iron, just like a ches. You don't say a mappic ches.
Well, you say
mappic halo. Because it's that dot, or the dogish inside it, which creates...
Only when it's got the dot in the hay, whereas with the iron, what's the rule with the iron?
The iron never takes a dogish.
How do we know?
The hay, in fact, never takes a doggish. Mappic hay is not a doggish. Aleph hay, ches, ayin, resh, never take a doggish. But whenever you have an ayin at the end of a word with a patach underneath, the ah, then it's not ah, it's ah.
Always.
Yes.
Okay.
So even if you don't have a sound under that ayin, like in Shema, you should still try and close up the word with your tongue at the top of your palate. So it's Shema. And not Shema. Do you hear the difference? That would be the correct way. And we want to say the Shema correctly. It's the pinnacle of our davening, of our service. And if I may quote the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Samach Beis, Mitzvah ledat deik be'osio seho. It's a mitzvah to be particular with your letters when you read the Shema. Alright, if you were not so particular about them, afalpi, if you didn't, in certain circumstances you will be yotzah. But the Mishnah Berurah is saying that you still got to be careful with the letters, because there it's only talking about the separation between the words. But the actual letters, if you're not pronouncing letters properly, and we mentioned last week about the chol levavachol, not joining the letters, the avadatem mehero al levavachem, v'nosati esev besodacho, although the base and the base are not identical, people easily join v'nosati esev besodacho, and there are lots of examples like that, which are already quoted in the Gemara. So we have to be careful. Anyway. Pardon? Ah, well, that's now another thing. I was going to come to this later, because it talks about the ches of echod being stressed, and also the dalud of echod being stressed. Now, how do you stress the dalud? Now, echod, you might say, you might lengthen it, but how do you lengthen a dalud? You might say duh, but then you're going to add a shavah to it. Or you do get some people who think they are very religious, and they shout at the top of their voice, echot, which is very wrong, because then they're adding an aleph into the word, aleph ches aleph dalud, which is totally wrong. So how do you lengthen the dalud? Rav Shlomo Zalman Abba says the kind of dalud we pronounce nowadays is a duh, and you can't lengthen it. So he says, what you do is you say your dalet and you just ponder for a second about it, that Hashem has this oneness. But you can't really lengthen the dalet. But there are some Sfadim, Eitan, maybe you can help me on this. There's some Sfadim who pronounce the dalet with a slight TH sound, as in the. Echoz. And that you can lengthen.
I believe that's only when the dalet does not have a dogish.
When the dalet does not have a dogish, that there is a slight TH sound to the dalud, and then that's how with the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch says you should lengthen the dalud of Echod, you'll be doing so as Echod that way. But it's very hard to change if we have a tradition handed down to us that the dalud sounds like the letter D. But it's a very interesting point. And I found a number of sources which suggest that the dalud, the original dalud, had this slight TH sound. Not the firm TH sound, which of is Tha, because there is a strong view that the letter Sov is really a TH sound of Tha. Just like we say Sabbath in the English for Shabbos or Shabbat. Why Sabbath? Where does this TH come from? And there's a tradition that the original Sov is a Tha. And I once heard this Rav Shimon Weiser I quoted. I used to hear him leaning, and he distinguished between the Sov and the Sin and the Samach. Because we're brought up amongst the Ashkenazim to pronounce all three the same. The Samach and the Sin and the Sov. But really that's not correct. Now, the original Maskilim, who wanted to revise the Hebrew language, they didn't care so much about religious Judaism, but they cared very much about the traditions of the Hebrew language. And they were reviving the Hebrew language, whether it was the Shema or Shalom Shema, okay, it's very nice to talk Lashon HaKodesh or some revised form of it in Israel today. But one of these Maskilim came up to the Satmar Rav and challenged him. And you know the Hasidim, their pronunciation is not exactly... how shall I say, Medaktev with Milel, Milran, and
it's kind of Yiddishized.
It's Yiddishized very much so. But there is a theory, which I've seen quoted in a number of places, that the Hasidim deliberately distorted their Milel Milra because they did not want to be like the secular Maskilim. And so they did this with Shem Shemayim. Anyway, there was one Maskil who came up to the Satmar Rav and said, look, if you are so wonderful, and you're davening so properly, why don't you distinguish between the Samach and the Sin and the Sov, which really should all be treated differently? And the Satmar Rav, believe it or not, has amazing wit, and he says back to this fellow, it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, which is in chapter 94, verse 8, Uchasilim Mosai Taskilu. Uchasilim Mosai Taskilu means, you fools, when will you gain wisdom? And the Chasilim has the Samach, the Mosai has the Sov, and the Taskilu has the Sin. So the correct way of pronouncing it would be Uchasilim Mosai Taskilu. Gilu. But the Satmar Rav was trying to say to him, listen, Nate, get your priorities right. Practice your religion, okay? Keep Shabbos. Eat kosher. Wear tzitzis. Don't wear shatnas. Let's get your priorities right. And then we'll come and talk about it. So you fools, when will you gain wisdom? An amazing response from the Satmar Rav. Anyway, the importance of this ayin is can't be overstressed too much, because if you are saying the word nishbat in the Shema, Hashem nishbat l'Hashem l'Avoseichem, nishbat with the ayin at the end means sworn to. If you pronounce it as nishbat as though there's a hay on the end, then it means captured, which means you're capturing Hashem, which becomes absurd. So the Shulchan Aruch actually writes this, that you should stress the ayin on that word, Hashem nishba l'Hashem, kidei lahatim yofeh ha'ayin. You should spend time on it. So if I go now to the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Samach Aleph, there in Tet Zayin, sorech lahafsik bein nishba l'Hashem, kidei lahatim yofeh ha'ayin. You should stress the ayin particularly, shlo tei nir b'kei. It shouldn't sound like a hey, because otherwise you're saying that God is being captured. Well, that's not easy, but one could try. Hashem nishba. Certainly, once we finish talking about pronunciation, you might spend a little more time in your Shema and in all your davening when you realize how many howlers you might be coming out with. Once I was invited to daven at the Omud in a shul in the provinces, because I was in Avelos at the time, and I said to the Gabba, being a stranger to the place, well, how long do you want me to spend, because I have to know what your speed is? And he said, 25 minutes. I said, all right, 25 minutes to the Shemon Esrei. Yeah, that's the way we do it in Golders Green. No, he said, not to the Shemon Esrei, to the end of Shacharis. I beg your pardon? He said, 25 minutes, I guarantee you that anyone who spends 25 minutes on Shacharis from beginning to end will not be pronouncing the words, certainly of the Shema, properly. And they will not be Yotza. Well, I might be daring and I shouldn't judge others, but let's just carry on a little.
What happened to me?
Well, since I thought this was a one-off visit, if I would have been a regular there, I wouldn't have taken the other. But since it was a one-off visit, I thought, well, he's not going to stop me in the middle and tell me to hurry up. I'm just going to go at my own pace. And that's what I did. And when I said to him, why do you have to be so fast? He said, well, the Rav gives a shear at the end. We need time for the shear. So I thought, well, they can do without the Rav shear. Let's stop them properly. Well, the only reason why I was there was because I had to get to some place for my work soon afterwards. So I didn't want to be as long as Yeshivas Kol Torah on my davening, but I went at my own pace. Anyway, that's the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Samach Aleph. Then he says also the importance of when you say Tizkeru in the Shema, Leman Tizkeru, in order that you remember, because if you say Tizkeru, then you're going to change the meaning profoundly. Because, well, some literatures mix up the Shin and the Sin. So they might even say Tishkeru. Tishkeru means you will be false. That's falsehood from Sheker. Oh, Tishkeru with a Sin means you will be hiring. You hire out something that's to be a socher. Therefore, you will be changing the meaning there. V'havei ka'avodim ha'mashamshim ha'manos v'kabel peros. The month is Kuru, that means Hashem is hiring out to us, that means we're doing it for rewards, he's hiring us the Torah, and we are being paid, it becomes absurd, you get howlers coming. The Chayim Tzorif Ha'at is Zayin Shel Uzzacharetem. The same way, Uzzacharetem is Kol Mitzvot, not Uzzacharetem, because otherwise, Hashem is hiring out. Yadgish Yud Shel Shema Yisrael, some people skim over it and make it sound like an Aleph, as in Israel. Shelo tivra velo tira aleph v'chein yud devahoyo velo tishtame v'hoyo. Try not to leave out the yud, he says. Tzorech litein revach bein v'choro la'af velo tishtame v'chorath v'choro af Hashem. Hashem will become angry. V'chora af Hashem. If you're in speedo daven, then inevitably you're going to say v'chora, which changes the meaning. And then he says the differences between the spacing. Is easy to mix together into the wrong. And he says also, whenever you have an aleph following a mem, lahafsik beinehem, kagon v'limadatem osom, because if you say v'limadatem osom, then mosom means their death. U'kasharatem osom. If you say kasharatem mosom, it's mosom again means their death. V'samtem es devorai eile, v'samtem mes. Again, mes means death. U'reisem oso. If you say Urisem Oso, then it's Moso, his death. And the classic example of death is the problem of this word Mei Eis. Like we said in Halel last week, Mei Eis Hashem Hoyos Ozos. If you skim over it and say Chas Hashom Meis, then you're using Meis on the word on Hashem's name, Chas Hashom. How can you suggest for a moment Hashem is dying, heaven forbid? So, to tell you a little story, I was once in Beit Vegan in Amshinov Shtibel, and this was 40 years ago when there was, I think, the grandfather of the current Amshinov Rebbe, and there was a Shtibel very close to where I was staying. I was staying with a former member of this shul, Rav Shmuel Merrill, and he was living very close to the Amshinov Beit HaMedrash and had very late minyan, so if I overslept, I could go in there. And they said stories about this Amshinov Rebbe, how he would stay up the whole night, every night saying to him, I don't know when he slept. And he was a wonderful, very friendly, warm man. But I was there once in the week of Terumah, and the Baal Kara was laying, Mei Eis Kol Ish Asher Yidvenu Libo. So the fellow was laying, he said, Mei Eis Kol Ish Asher Yidvenu Libo. And the Amshinov Rebbe stopped him, and he said, My eyes. Because the Hasidim say I for A. And so he repeated it, May A, and it wasn't good enough for him. And he made him repeat it 5 times. My eyes, he said. Because he didn't want this word, Chas V'Shalom, to sound like mace. So you do get lots of howlers coming up. Well, the Shutz Beis Ridvaz in chapter Chof Zayin said it's more likely that the Sfaradim pronunciation is far more correct than the Ashkenaz pronunciation, because the Ashkenazim have been exiled to many countries and as a result they became more assimilated, whereas the Sfaradim were not exiled so much from one country to another, so it was easier for them to keep their traditions and to do things more authentically.
Essentially talking about the Arabs.
Yeah, there are differences. Okay, I remember there are some little mistakes which a lot of people make. It doesn't matter whether you're Ashkenazi or Sfarzi. When you're saying the Shemone Esra, Lishenei Ofar, a lot of people say Lishnei Ofar. You're changing the meaning. Lishnei is the number two. That's not the kavanah of the pasuk.
I'm just interrupting.
Yes.
So how long should the Shema take and how long should the Amida take?
Ooh.
As long as Michael Israel.
How long is a piece of string?
I say you can't say the Amida properly unless it's at least 4.5 minutes.
Right.
How people do it in 2 minutes, I'm not really sure. And you say the Shema, the 20 seconds that people get it through, it's not possible to
If you look at the Rambam, there's a halacha about davening your Shemone Esrei by Netz HaChamor at sunrise, and the Shema should be said before sunrise. And there's a question which Rav Shiara Davlitsky addresses in a Kuntras about when is the right sunrise. Is it when you stand at sea level, or is it when you see it properly? And there's a gap of 2.5 minutes. So he talks about the time it takes from the Shema to the Shemone Esrei. And he says 2.5 minutes. So that you've done your Shema before Nate, and that you're doing your Shemone Esrei after Nate Tanir Air, which is when the sun is visible. So that gives an idea of his speed of davening. Also it takes the ball of the sun 4 minutes to come up, and 2 further minutes the sky is red, that's 6 minutes. So that ideally you should finish your Shemone Esrei in that time, when you daven at Neitz HaChamo. So that gives you an idea of 6 minutes. But I'll talk about that maybe another time with the times it takes for davening. There isn't really the time now. Another common mistake when people daven at the Omud is you hear them saying, V'hoseh mimeni yogan lanochon, it's mimenu, which is plural, from us. You shouldn't just be talking about yourself, but for all of us. A very common mistake, you know the famous song, Baruch Hu Elokeinu, and everyone thinks, Sheboronu lichvodo. Well, if you say, Sheboronu lichvodo, then you are saying something quite heretical. You are saying that we created God in his honor. We did not create God. It's not Sheboronu. It's Sheboronu, that he had created us in his honor. I think one of the big howlers of the day is when people are saying Hallel and they say Hodu, Hodu Lashem Kito. Well, it's bad enough when we're bringing back the Sefer Torah Hodo, otherwise you hear people saying Hodu. But Hodu means India, as in Megillat Esther, that he ruled Mehodu Va'ad Kush. Hodu is India. Hodu is we give thanks. Hodu. Hodu also means Turkey, not the country but the bird. Anyway, we've analysed as best as we can now the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. There are lots of sources which show that the Sfardim got it far more right than we Ashkenazim have. But we heard what the Saparov said to defy the Maskilim. We're going to do a part three. And in the part three, we're going to go much more through practical examples of lots of howlers where people make common mistakes, and maybe that way we'll round off this series in a more hilarious manner. Thank you very much.